Well, it's a busy season, and it's good for us to be here together just to find some refocused time. Two scripture readings, both from Matthew, one's in chapter 4, one's in chapter 5. If you want to look in the Bible in the church, it's page 1501 in that Bible. Matthew 4, beginning at verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And Jesus healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. And then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I have a Sunday Star here. Do you have your Sunday Star yet? I like the Sunday Star. For a couple of different reasons. I like that in the Sunday Star there's a little New York Times section. Have you noticed that before in the Sunday Star? It's kind of like the best of the New York Times. I always enjoy that. A famous theologian once said, "For a Christian to practice true faith, we need to have a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other hand." Does that make sense? What does that mean to you? But we need to be informed to be Christians? I think so. And I think mostly it's because of this verse. I've highlighted one word there, as you can see. God loved the whole world. That's why we have Christmas time. God didn't just love one group of people. God loved the whole world. That's why we need to care about what happens in the world. That's why we need to have some sense of what's happening in the world, as well as the Bible. Another way of putting it, I suppose, is in some way we just need to be relevant. If we're going to take this verse seriously, we need to be relevant to the world around us. Because God didn't just love a small group of people, God loves the whole world. Now, did anybody watch the Patriots-Bills game yesterday? Did you see the John 16 guy? There's always one of them in every crowd. Holds up the John 3:16. I don't know why that guy never appears at hockey games. It's always just football. Never see him at hockey games. For God so loved the world that he sent us Jesus. Now, those words are comforting to us because they speak about a God who isn't just real, but a God who loves you. But these words are a huge challenge to us as well. Like, if we're people who profess to have a Christian faith, not just at Christmas time, but throughout the whole year, these words are a challenge because these words are saying, you need to care about the whole world. That's hard. And so being informed and picking up a paper is just to care about what's happening in the world. What do you think about the whole impeachment stuff? What do you think about that? What do you mean you don't care? Somebody might say they don't care. Like, however you think about it, How can you just not care about it? Like, it's important. Front page of the Sunday Star this morning. I just picked this up a couple hours ago. Just another person who got shot. It's about a woman shot in Toronto. 417 shootings in Toronto in the year 2019. That's four times higher than 20 years ago. And somebody might say, I don't care. That's somebody else's life, somebody else's business. But we have to care if we take this verse seriously. We have to care about what's going on around us. We can't just say, I don't care. Over 5,000 people die in Canada a year from opiate overdose. Yeah, that's not my business. I'm living here, they're living there, and live and let live. No, we can't say that, though. Not if we take this verse seriously. We are to care. Why? Because Jesus cared. This is what I've read, and I've highlighted two words that I think are the two most important words in that verse. Jesus went out into Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. Well, Galilee was Jesus' world. It's kind of like saying Jesus went out into the world. It's interesting that that region of Galilee is only a couple hundred square miles. And a lot of scholars believe that Jesus never left that region in his whole life. Because he was a peasant, he was a carpenter, he wouldn't have left. But Galilee to Jesus was his world. He went out into the world. But the two most important words there are he went out. He went out. He cared about people. He cared about what people were doing. They taught at the synagogues, yes, but they also went out among the people, the passage says. I mean, you might say Jesus read the paper. Jesus knew the people around him. He knew what was happening. He made himself familiar with all of that. Now, I wonder if the people who walk by this church building here in Collingwood think that we care about them. I wonder. I mean, a lot of people who walk by this building might think, well, you know, they're doing their thing, you know, live and let live. I don't know what they're doing, but I'm not really sure if they care about me that much, because if they do, there's got to be some evidence of that they do care. I don't know. I don't know what a lot of people think. Does the worldwide church care about people around them? What's the popular consensus or opinion on that? Look, take technology, for example. Technology is changing the world for better or for worse, isn't it? But technology is the way people communicate now. I mean, I have no interest in computers. I have no interest in technology per se, but I have an interest in communicating to people. I have to have an interest in communicating to people if I am to care about them and if I am to take this verse seriously, for God so loved the world. So we have email and YouTube and Instagram. In fact, the video we just watched of the carol sing, Reg Sheffield sent to me by Dropbox. I didn't even know what Dropbox is. Seriously. I know Kimberly and Heyman do, but I... And so I'm in my office like a couple of hours ago trying to figure out how to download a video from Dropbox. We gotta figure it out. Like, we need to be aware of how people live and how people communicate if we care about them. Does that make any sense? The world communicates in a certain way. And if we take that verse seriously, we gotta love the world and we gotta care about them. What do people listen to? What kind of things appeal to larger masses of people? It's not about following trends. It's not about trying to be trendy. It's just about knowing what connects to people. So Jesus engaged with all people. Jesus went out into worlds. Jesus talked to people that a lot of people wouldn't talk to forever at the frustration of his disciples. His disciples were always saying, why are you wasting your time talking to that person? And Jesus said, because God so loved the world, he sent me. I just want to show you three things that we get out of the newspaper that has to do with the world that we're called to love. The first thing that we see on the front page of any newspaper is conflict and tragedy and suffering and pain, right? That's always the first thing we see on the front of every newspaper, because that kind of thing sells, and that kind of thing is what people want to read, first of all, and it's always on the front of any newspaper. Like in this, like 417 people have been shot in Toronto. We need to care about that. Look at this. Tens of thousands of young people addicted to vaping. What about computer hacking? I think that was on the third. Computer hacking is like a huge problem in our culture now. How many people on their cell phones this week have had a call from either Gravenhurst or Lindsay or some town in central Ontario, and it's a scam call? We get those calls all the time. Some people say, I don't care. Well, you have to care about this stuff. The newspaper's full of it. There's large-scale struggle, and then there's personal struggle. I mean, there's all that stuff we see on the news, but then there's all the stuff we feel in our hearts. Just loneliness, uncertainty, disease, illness, all that kind of stuff. That's personal struggle that we also deal with. And when Jesus went out into that world of struggle. But here's the thing, and here's the thing to remember at Christmas time. When Jesus went out into the world, no matter how his disciples complained about it, no matter how his disciples said, look, Jesus, why can't we just make this a little bit more exclusive? Like, why can't this just be about us? And you're a smart person, and we're smart, and we can find a way to come up with a rationale for not going out into the lives of these people. Like, we can figure that out. We're pretty good at making up rationales. And Jesus said, no, but here's why I go out into that, because I can make a difference in it. I don't just go out in that to provide comfort. I go out in that to say, that doesn't need to be. That doesn't need to happen. Like, I can make light out of that darkness. And then Jesus said this, when I'm gone, you're going to do twice, you're going to do 10 times what I ever did. And the disciples are like, how could that even be possible? You're Jesus, we're just people. And Jesus said this. Look, this is what we remember when we light this candle. When you go out into the pain of the world, it doesn't matter what kind of pain it is, when you share love into that pain, there will be healing. That's what Jesus said. It's remarkable. We light that candle of love. We just remember that when we share love, the pain disappears. That's what all the miracles of healing are about. Jesus said the most important things, the love of God, is forgiveness, compassion, and putting others before yourself. If you go out into this world of heartbreak and loneliness and uncertainty, and you share those things, and I say you can do more than I ever could because there's more of you, I'm just one body. You go out into the world now and there's 12 of you, and then there'll be 120, then there'll be 12,000, then there'll be millions of you. And if you can share that love, that's why we like the candle of love. Second thing that we see in the newspaper. We see good news as well in the newspaper, don't we? It says on page 4 of the Toronto Star that Canada has again been ranked number 1 by the Reputation Institution. I don't even know what that is. Like, what is that? The Reputation Institution? I don't know. But we're again ranked number 1. That's amazing. Based on a variety of environmental, political, and economic factors. I did a wedding last summer, and it was just up on the mountain above Clarksburg. It was a beautiful day. It was so gorgeous. Did the wedding, and I'm driving home. Had the sunroof open, the windows down, and it was one of those life is good kind of like feelings kind of days where everything's just perfect. And I'm just driving down the mountain, coming back into Clarksburg. And I just thought, life is just so beautiful. And you know, the reality is, life has been pretty beautiful in Canada for a long time. Like, how is Jesus relevant to good times? Forget about all the struggle. The newspaper also relays good things, too. Think about this. Canada has been affluent for 70 years. 70 years. Not just Canada. The United States, most countries in Western Europe. Do you know that the last 70 years has been the most affluent time that we've been experiencing in the West, the most affluent time ever in any civilization in the past that we have been living in? How is God relevant to that? Do you know the history of ancient Israel? This is fascinating. When things go good for Israel, and this is all through the pages of the Old Testament, when things go well, prosperity and political stability, God among the people tends to fade out of the picture. It happens all the time. Interest in God is in direct proportion to the standard of living. So interest in God tends to fade when the standard of living in a culture goes up. The thing is, when God fades out of the picture, the country starts to slide. And this is the pattern you see over and over in the Old Testament. Because people get kind of arrogant and cocky, and they don't think they need any of the values of God, and they just kind of forget about God. And the nation starts this downward spiral, the economy included. And then they're sent into exile by some other nation, like the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Egyptians. They're sent into exile. And it's only then when they reach the very lowest place they could ever go as a people and as a culture, it's only then that they realize that they have forgotten about the values of God. And then they turn around and they face those values again. And then within a couple of generations, the whole culture is back up and running, including the economy. That fascinates me because I see that happening with us. We've been a wealthy country for 70 years. And in that affluence, people have, in a very real sense, left the congregation. Because you just get to a point where you think, I don't even need the values of God anymore. Look at me. What do I need that stuff for? How is Jesus relevant to that? Jesus went out into that as well. Why should we care about that? Because there's a lot at stake. You take the values of Jesus out of a social fabric, who will we be? What will we be? So Jesus went out into this kind of world too, where a lot of people were doing pretty well, and Jesus talked to those people as well. And Jesus said, reevaluate your priorities. Jesus said, be cautious. Remember who brought you into this place of abundance. Don't forget about what's important. And what's important, what's number one, is the love of God, compassion, forgiveness, putting others above yourself, loving your neighbor. Don't forget about that. I saw a great documentary about Whitney Houston. Anybody remember Whitney Houston? She was amazing. She was just such a remarkable talent. And she rose up to be the biggest pop star the 80s had ever seen. She came from Newark, New Jersey, and she was raised in a Baptist church, New Hope Baptist Church. She was raised, that's where she learned to sing. And her mother was Sissy Houston. And her mother used to say, and I quote, "You best be remembering where you came from, girl. You best be remembering your roots. You best be remembering your values, because if you don't, you're going to fall down as far as you rose up." And Whitney Houston forgot. And she was seduced by her affluence and by her fame. And so to an affluent and successful generation, i.e. us, Jesus says, remember what brought you into this place of abundance. Don't forget those values. Third and last thing that we see in the paper. We see a lot of fluff in the paper. We see a lot of stuff that just doesn't really matter. I mean, in fact, when I buy the Sunday Star, do you know what the first section I go to? Sports, of course. Sports and entertainment. Not always in that order. Sports and entertainment. The two sections that a lot of people go to first. Let's see. Sports and here's entertainment. Oh, Lady Gaga broke up with Christian. They were so good together. Frozen 2 made $425 million at the box office as of yesterday. Frozen 2. And that's just the beginning. Wait till it goes into Europe and Asia. It's going to be massive. And then the sports section. Oh, the Leafs are finally back in their groove. Oh, that was really stressed out about that. Like, it doesn't mean anything. Like, we read the things in the paper that just have no real bearing on anything, but here's the thing. It's what people are into. And knowing what people are into helps us to relate to them. And if we can relate to them, then we can better connect to them. And we're called to connect to them because we're called to care about the verse, as John 3:16 says, that God so loved them too. And so we know. Like, Jesus would walk up to someone and know who they were. And yeah, Jesus was divine. We believe that Jesus had a divinity in him that no human being has ever had, ever. And so he had an ability to just look in someone's eyes and see them in a very unique way. But make no mistake, Jesus knew people because he walked into their lives. He lived with them. He ate with them. He listened to their stories. He read their papers. He knew the scores of their games. This is the example I set for you, he says. If you want to light the candle of love, go and do likewise. Once Jesus was out with his disciples, and it was a hot day, and they were all tired, and the disciples went into this town. But Jesus noticed a well, and at this well there was a woman sitting. Well, they knew right away that she was a Samaritan woman. She wasn't one of them. The Jews regarded Samaritans as being half-breeds and unworthy of anything important. And the disciples looked at Jesus looking at the woman, and they rolled their eyes and they said, "Here we go again." And Jesus went to talk to the Samaritan woman at the well. And she was an outcast, even among her own people, because she had been with 5 different men. And when we don't know any other detail, may not have been her fault, but she was an outcast among her own people. And they were both thirsty, and they looked down into the well, and Jesus, who was a Jew, started talking with her. And Jesus listened to her story, and then Jesus said to her, "Sister, you have been made to feel unworthy of God. But I say to you, you are a child of God. But I say to you, you are included in this family. But I say to you, we are all in the same family, and we will be all heirs to the kingdom of God. But I say to you, God loves you as much as he loves me." And Jesus embraced this outcast with words of love. And I just think a lot of people out there would like to hear those same words. The people who walk by and wonder if we care about them. I think people want to hear the words, "God is your God as well. You are a child of God. You are worthy of God. God loves you even more than you can imagine. God has a plan for you that goes way beyond anything you could ever imagine for yourself." This is not irrelevant information. This is information that brings people together and gives people meaning for their lives. And then Jesus draws up the water from the well, and he drinks, she drinks, and their thirst is quenched. Body thirst and soul thirst. Here are the words that we read. These are ancient words, letters, and ancient stories. And these words say, "A child is born unto you, and he will be your Savior. He will bring a light into your lives, and he will be not just for some people, but he will be for all people." We read in these words that God is love, nothing more, nothing less. And in that same week, we read these words because we know that this is the world that God loves. This is it right here. In all its fun and fluff, in all its affluence and success, in all its pain and struggle. And at Christmas time, as we light this candle of love, Jesus calls you, calls me to go out into that world, because all people thirsty. And remember, Genesis chapter 1, when God made all of this, God smiled because God saw that it was good. Let's sing our carol.